Hello, my name is Philip Dawson, and welcome to our start-stop reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook, when we stop for a few minutes and start to reflect on a passage from Scripture. During Lent, at our informal discussion group, we're exploring the Gospel of John. Do join us if you can on Thursdays for an hour from 7:30 by Zoom. This week, we arrived at the start of what many see as the second half of John's Gospel, the Book of Glory, or the Book of Passion. Here, the pace of events slows and the focus changes. John has spent the first part of his gospel describing, through signs and teaching, Jesus' love for the world. Now he focuses on Jesus' love for his followers. From chapter 13 and for the next five chapters, John describes Jesus speaking only to the disciples, teaching them, and so us, how to follow him in faith after his death and resurrection. His first lesson takes place during the Last Supper. From the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." What a powerful lesson to start with, and a practical demonstration at that. Just like the disciples, perhaps we too can most fully understand the love of Jesus, not only by reading or hearing about it, but by witnessing it, experiencing it for ourselves. When did you last see God's love at work? The examples that come to my mind are small acts of kindness. Perhaps that's not surprising when Jesus himself demonstrates that this most significant of gifts can be revealed in the most insignificant of acts. How much more powerful are these acts of love when we remember their source? St. Augustine, in his commentary on this passage, highlights what we might call its divine topography, noticing that before Jesus goes back to God, as John puts it, he comes down to the soles of our feet. Another example of the whole of Jesus' ministry encapsulated in a single event. Small wonder then that Peter is so amazed, highlighting how inappropriate it is for Jesus to take on the work of a slave. The American theologian Dale Bruner has found that amongst all the surviving texts from this time, there exists no other account of a person in a position of authority performing such an action. John's account, perhaps like the act itself, was unique. The exchange between Jesus and Peter reveals what it means to be a disciple, which involves not only serving, but also being served. The two cannot exist independently. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me," Jesus tells Peter. When was the last time you let Jesus serve you? On the face of it, a harder proposition to contend with, but perhaps one closely linked to the first question we asked. We can only witness the acts of kindness and loving service between one another because of the love we've received from Jesus, whose life and ministry, as we've noticed, is so powerfully revealed to us in those moments. We allow Jesus to serve us when we participate in his love, through acts of prayer and service, the true life of the disciple. This year, because of the pandemic, churches are unlikely to reenact the washing of the disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday, which happens to be the day our church reopens for public worship. But that doesn't mean we cannot follow Jesus by turning this passage into a practical demonstration of God's love. Many commentators see echoes of the foot washing of the disciples in the sacrament of the Eucharist itself, a celebration and remembrance of the fact that Jesus poured out his life for us, like the water over the feet of the disciples, cleansing and forgiving our sins, strengthening us through prayer and teaching in our lives as disciples of Christ. So as we take part in the service this year, either at home or in church, will we allow Jesus to serve us, to cleanse us of our sins, to accept his absolution in its wholeness? Will we allow ourselves to be bathed in his grace, truth, and love? Will we reveal this great gift by sharing it with others? A prayer attributed to Origen of Alexandria, a 3rd-century scholar and theologian. Jesus, my feet are dirty. Come even as a slave to me. Pour water into your bowl. Come and wash my feet. In asking such a thing, I know I am overbold, but I dread what was threatened when you said to me, if I do not wash your feet, I have no fellowship with you. Wash my feet then, because I long for your companionship. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. We hope to reopen the church, as I say, for worship in Holy Week with a sung Eucharist on Maundy Thursday. That's the 1st of April at 12:45. Other services and events will continue online for the time being by telephone and Zoom. Check out our website for more details. And do join us for our informal study group on Thursday evening, if you can, when we'll be exploring the next few chapters of the Gospel of John together. And we'll be back with another Start-Stop reflection next week.